Our passage this morning comes from Acts chapter 9. We'll be looking at 17 through 22. If you want to follow along in your Bible or in your Bible app, we'll also have the reading on the screen behind me when we get to it. The title of our sermon this morning is Unexpected Blessing. And I don't know how many of you have experienced this in your life where you're in a pinch and you don't know where help's going to come from, and then all of a sudden, there it is. Jenny and I have had those things happen for us countless times in our marriage and even before that. But, you know, there was one that really sticks out in my mind right before we were starting seminary. I say we. Jenny and I went to seminary together, right? We had to sell our house in order to move to Orlando to be there for seminary. And we had some structural problems with the foundation. And so we had a contract that fell through, and so we were moving to Orlando in a week, and we didn't have a place to live, right? And so we're praying, okay? And so the backup option was to sleep in my in-laws' pop-up camper in their driveway until we found a place. But what we didn't know is that there were people praying for our situation. Our names got put on a prayer chain, unbeknownst to us, and there was a family who were perfect strangers to us who called us and said, we are moving to Sumter, South Carolina, and people in Sumter, South Carolina have blessed us with a free place to stay until our house sells, and so our house hasn't sold in Florida, and it's in the Orlando area, and we want to bless you guys with the ability to stay there as long as you need to, or until our house sells. So my first semester in seminary, we were living in a house in the Orlando area, absolutely free of charge, while our house was being fixed and getting on the market to be sold. All right, so our house sold. We move out of the house there, and we find out the very next week that their house sold. It was just one of those things. It was an unexpected blessing to us. And it was just one of those things. We were like, okay, God, what's going to happen here? And then he showed up in a way that we can only say he was working. Because we had no clue other people knew about what we were going through. Or that we had other people praying over the need that we had. You know, the passage today, I think we can, y'all have heard the saying, expect the unexpected. Something very unexpected happened. And it was a blessing to the church at a time where they needed it badly. And so let's look at Acts chapter 9, starting in verse 17. It says this. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul. He said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell from the eyes of Saul, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once, he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, Isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on his name? And hasn't he come here to take them prisoners to the chief priest? Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah. This is the word of the Lord. Praise be to God. And so Saul, the Saul they're talking about in this passage is who we know as Paul. His name was changed. So giving a backstory here, right? If we go back to Acts, I believe chapter 7, the disciples, they call deacons to the service of the church, right? And one of those deacons is Stephen. And Stephen tries to teach people about who God is, and he does a really good job. And because he did a really good job, he made people mad at him, and what did they do? They stoned him to death. And guess who was standing there holding the cloaks, holding the robes of the people who stoned him? Saul. Right? He was a Pharisee. And Paul even brags in his, he said, you know, according to the law, I was a Pharisee, and I was a good Pharisee, but I count that as loss for the cause of Christ. But he is there when the first martyr in Stephen, when he was first martyred, he was the first martyr of the church, and Paul was standing right there as he was being stoned. And then he took it upon himself to be the one that would eradicate the world of Christianity. He did. He was a zealot for the Jewish faith. And so he's going to Damascus. And why is he going to Damascus? He's going there to arrest the Christians and bring them back to put them on trial. And guess what? If they were found guilty, what would happen to them? They would most likely either be imprisoned for the rest of their lives, or they would be stoned to death or killed, just like Stephen was. So Paul is on his way to Damascus. He's riding his horse, and just like that, his life changed. He was blinded, and Christ revealed himself to Paul right there on the road to Damascus as he was heading to go and to arrest people like Ananias, who is in this story. And so here is Paul. He's been blinded. He's been told the truth about who Christ is. And he's in someone's home, and he's waiting. And he doesn't know what he's waiting for. There's several things that I want to point out in this passage. The first thing is the faith of Paul after he came to know who Christ was. In verse 20, it said, at once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. Here is the man who persecuted the church, and as soon as he comes to faith in Jesus Christ, he doesn't waste any time. Immediately, he begins to preach that Jesus is the Son of God. The direction of Paul's life, it changed in an instant. He went from persecuting the church to being arguably the world's most influential Christian. I believe Paul was the second greatest unexpected blessing to the church. His life changed quickly. I'm not Paul. I'm not going to stand up here and claim to be a spiritual giant or anything, but if you had told me 15 years ago that I would be standing in a pulpit preaching every Sunday morning, I would have laughed in your face. I would have. You know, this wasn't what I thought I was going to be doing. But God put a call on my life, and he changed my direction. And I can say, this is what I love to do. God gave me this task. And there's nothing I would rather be doing than ministering here at Grace Community Church, alongside of you guys. And then I want to look at the faith of Ananias. All right, in verse 17 it says, then Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul. And he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell from the eyes of Saul, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. Could you imagine being Ananias? Could you imagine that? Yeah. Paul's reputation preceded him. You know, we can look at verse 13 and 14 from this same chapter. Lord, Ananias answered, I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem, and he has come here with the authority of the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. I guarantee you, a lot of Christians were trembling in their homes, expecting to be persecuted. And Ananias was probably one of them, and he's saying, God, you want me to go talk to this dude? This is the man that was there when Stephen was stoned to death. This is the man that has taken it upon himself to arrest people just like me and to persecute us. And you want me to go find him? God spoke to him and he said, God sent me. He sent me so that you may see again. He called him brother. Man, what faith did it take to walk into the home where Saul was sitting blinded? Knowing full well that if Saul hadn't been converted, that he might die for it. And yet he does it in obedience to God. God sent me. He sent me to be the one that was there as the scales were removed from Paul's eyes. To be the one that saw him baptized. To be in the shoes of Ananias as he watched Paul become the most influential person in the church in this time. How amazing would that be? How much faith did that build up in Ananias and the people that witnessed this instant change? Could you imagine seeing this man who so viciously persecuted the church become the one that God appointed to be his disciple to the Gentiles? And then there's the faith of those around him. Verses 21 and 22. All those who heard were astonished and asked, "Isn't this the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on his name, on this name? And hasn't he come to take them as prisoners to the chief priest?" Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah. He proved to them that Jesus is the Messiah. This is a blessing that was received in an unexpected way. No one expected Paul to be used as the tool of God to share the gospel. Is it possible that God chose Paul to build the faith of the persecuted church? If God can save him, if God can convert him, what else can he do? He used Paul to demonstrate his power to the world. For years to come, Jenny and I can look at that story of how he blessed us unexpectedly before we went to seminary and say, God was at work there. God called me and then he made the way clear for me to do what he asked me to do. For years and years and years and years to come, the scripture that tells us about Paul's conversion will stand as a reminder of what God can do in unexpected ways. It'll be an Ebenezer. Does anybody know what an Ebenezer is? It's not a guy from a Charles Dickens novel, right? So Samuel in the Old Testament, he prayed for Israel and he asked for deliverance, and there was a deliverance, and he took a rock and he placed it in the place where the deliverance happened. And that rock served as a reminder of what God did in that place, and that was an Ebenezer. That rock is what they call an Ebenezer. It's a marker. It's a marker of things that God has done in our lives. And there are so many things that God has done in our lives that we can look back on and we can say God was at work in that moment. It doesn't have to be a physical thing, although it can be. In our case, it was an event that happened in our lives. In this case, it was an event that happened in the life of Paul. And it stands as a reminder to the church that God can do whatever he wants in the most unexpected ways. Think about the times that God provided for you in a major way. Think about the times that you could not deny the provision and protection of God. How I met my wife, Jenny, is one of those stories. Who meets their wife at a Boy Scout camp? (Laughter) What? No way. We lived an hour away from each other in Florida. And we met at a Boy Scout camp in New Mexico. Don't be blind also to the faith that you've been given. That alone, your faith is a miracle. It's by the work of the Holy Spirit that you came to know who God is and who Jesus Christ is. That was an unexpected deliverance. I said Paul was possibly the second most unexpected blessing to the church. The most unexpected blessing to the church was the sacrifice that Christ made for us. That was unexpected. We should have never expected Christ to do what he did. We were lost. We were without hope. We were running away from God. We were sinners, deserving of God's punishment. We were caught up in our shame. But because of Christ, we are found. Because of Christ, we are made new. We are adopted. Because of Christ, we possess the hope of salvation. And how did he accomplish that for us? By dying on the cross and shedding his blood so that our sins could be forgiven. Why would we expect that when we spit in his face, he would go to the cross to save us? And I'll tell you this, it's because even when we were running away from him, he loved us so much that he would pursue us and save us with his sacrifice. And then he makes the biggest promise of all. Because I have saved you, I now give you eternal life as my sons and daughters. I bring you to my table. I make you my son or daughter. How unexpected is that? Remember the time when you first, when it first became clear to you that God saw you as a treasure through Christ? Do you remember that time? Put that marker there. I remember it happened at a concert for me. I can look back at that time and I can say, wow, God spoke to me. Me. And he joined me to his church. He made me a part of the body of Christ. And I need that Ebenezer to build my faith and to remind me of the time when I was blessed by Christ. We all need that blessing. So, as a pastor, I don't like doing this. It's not something I like to do because at times it seems self-serving, right? But we as a church are behind in our giving. We are. We have been blessed over and over and over and over again in the fact that we have always brought in more than what we spend. But right now, we aren't. We have an opportunity now to bless this congregation, to bless this church, and to bless our community in trying to make up for what we're behind. And on the day that we do that, we can do that. On the day we do that, we can put a marker there, an Ebenezer there. So we have until the end of the year. You can look in the bulletin. You can see how far behind you might be. But I ask, be a blessing. Be an unexpected blessing. And help us to meet that need. So, I'm done with that. But I want to remind us all that God called us together as one body to worship and to glorify him because we remember the unexpected blessings he has placed in our life. And he's called us to be a blessing to the nations, taking his truth to all those that would need to hear. And could you imagine You were the unexpected blessing like Ananias was to Paul, who goes and is there when the scales fall from their eyes. And then you get to be blessed by seeing that person's life transform. I had a friend. It was actually the husband of Jenny's friend. Was a very harsh guy. Just very gruff and rough and tumble, and at times just verbally almost abusive to people. And Jenny and I, you know, we were like, what does she see in this dude? But he came to know Christ. He came to know Christ because people took the time to bless him by sharing the truth with him. And you would have never recognized him after he came to know who Jesus Christ was. It was amazing. So we, as the body of Christ, get to go out into the world and we get to see people that we can't imagine could be saved, like Paul. And see their lives transformed as we share the truth of who Christ is to them. What an unexpected blessing when we see those lives changed and see them come into the service of God as a part of His body. Amen.